Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. Hope you're doing well today here on this wonderful, fabulous, fun-filled January. And I am in the studio with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Sherry Keffer, which I said Keffler, and it's Keffer. And
it's close,
you know what?
Steve.
You know what we were talking about at our devotional this morning was hoofing it with the heifers is what what it was about, and it was about boanthropy. You know what that is, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't, so humor me.
I don't think we've ever had a boanthropy call, but it is that state of mind where you feel like or think that you're an ox or a cow, and you go out into the fields and you eat grass and your hair becomes as long as feathers on an eagle, and it's quite amazing. Oh, and your fingernails become like bird claws.
I'll take Nebuchadnezzar for 500, Alex.
That's exactly right. And you know what the cool thing is, that God had to do that to finally convince this guy that he wasn't the source of all prosperity. And then, once he finally got it, after living on the hoof, he finally came around, and God restored him back to power, back to wealth, even more than before. And so I always love to point out the fact that there's always hope. Always hope. Don't give up.
He was utterly restored.
He was utterly absolutely restored, and only Mylon would come up with that.
See, it comes from the word bovine, which is cow, or you know, bovine.
Ox.
You've heard of, or equine is a horse, bovine is cow-like. So
I couldn't believe you knew what that was.
That's okay.
I know. I'm kind of amazed.
I used to teach life science in high school.
Oh, so that's where it comes from.
Yeah. So
wow.
If I wonder how often that ever happens, because it is actually a real live psychological condition. You know what we're going to do? We're going to go right to our phones, whether you like it or not. We're going to go to Christina from Peoria, Illinois. WPEO is the station. Hello, Christina.
Hi, how are you?
Excellent.
Good. Well, my question is concerning my 12-year-old daughter. She is not overweight, but at the top of her weight scale for her age, and it's just kind of right in the middle right now. I think she's not quite started yet into puberty, but starting to soon. She's very athletic, but she's also really sensitive about her weight just because a few people have made comments, and so it's something that's kind of hard to talk about for that reason. I haven't really noticed her doing a ton of emotional eating. I mean, at this age, I still do a lot of the serving of the dinner and everything like that. But I do notice she eats, like, a lot, probably sometimes more than my husband and I or her brothers. And she's a fast eater, so I think that's what kind of trips her up sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then, like, in party or group situations, if there's food served, the only other thing I've noticed is, like, she'll still engage with the people around her, but she's excited about the food, which I like that too, so I understand that, but maybe still eats more compared to others. And I guess all the advice I've heard is just that you shouldn't say anything. I don't want to cause problems later. But, and like I said, if I even just, we just had a situation last night where she was taking something for school, a cookie bar, and I was like, oh, you don't need to pick the biggest one. And right away she got tears in her eyes, and it really upset her. And
well,
I probably didn't handle that right at all.
Yeah,
and
okay.
So I just would love your advice on how to steer in the right direction. I don't want to hurt her, of course, or make this a bigger issue, but also help her where we can.
Glad you called. I think we can give you some help on this. Listening to New Life Live, we'll be back right after this for more.
Two years ago, we took 120 people to the Holy Land.
It was an incredible adventure for us. For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me.
Once you go and see and do and touch and feel, there's just a connection that you just can't explain.
We're going to Israel again in 2014. We're going to go June the 2nd through the 12th. We're going to go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, visiting the Wailing Wall, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, Bethlehem, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more. Then, from the 13th to the 15th, if you stay with us, we're going to go to Petra, to Mount Nebo, and to Amman.
It is probably one of the best crash courses in Bible you would ever have in your whole life.
Call Gill Travel at 1-800-223-3855. You can also get that off of our website. Ask for Donna.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right. We're talking with Christina and her daughter. You know, she's maybe just a little closer to being overweight than anybody's comfortable with, especially the daughter and Christina. We were talking at the break. Mylon, you've got some thoughts on this because, well, you've raised a daughter or two in your lifetime.
Well, you know, Christina, you do have different body types, you know, the ectomorph, mesomorph, endomorph body types that are just naturally different. And that's a part of what you're dealing with here, which is a genetic issue. But I had a 12-year-old also that had two older brothers and would order exactly what they ordered when we'd go out to McDonald's, you know, two Big Macs, fries, you know, the whole thing. And she all of a sudden started getting teased, just like your daughter is starting to get teased. And what we did was we listened to how she felt.
Okay.
And we talked to her about what happened and how she felt. And then we did a couple of things. We asked her, well, what do you want to do? And, you know, how are you going to deal with this? And because she didn't like being teased. And being teased is what pushed her across the line to get angry or irritated enough that she said, I'm not going to let that happen anymore. And so then we did a variety of things. We talked about proportion, which is what we as adults have to do. You know, if we're going to be a parent, we have to train our children in all areas. Eat more slowly. Start with smaller proportions. I have a friend who's a nutritionist, and she says it's really all about proportion. And if you eat slower, your body will think that it's getting fuller quicker. If you eat really fast, you can eat a lot, and your body doesn't realize it's full yet.
Yes.
So there's disciplines you can have. But I would highly suggest that you process with her when she talks about what people say, or how did you feel when I told you not to take the biggest cookie or candy bar, and that you dialogue about it. You know, rather than saying, well, we can't talk about it because somebody's giving you bad advice to not be able to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Mylon, I think just a great relief to the situation would be simply to deal more with her feelings. That has nothing to do with weight or, you know, you don't see her eating a bag of chips and say, well, what were you feeling?
Well, it's about everything. You're right, Steve.
You just start talking to her more about how she's feeling in certain situations and just, you know, see what the reaction is on that. And, you know, maybe that will draw the two of you a little bit closer. I hope it will. I would think it would.
I know. I appreciate that advice. I have noticed, like, even last night, it came up in a devotion we were doing, and it was just talking about labels. And but I know some of the labels she felt, but I would say right now she just shuts down, like won't talk, like she just covered her face and didn't want to talk about it. So do I just keep gently pressing when appropriate, but then just kind of let her be too on
well,
those situations.
Did the emotional discussion in the devotional center around food?
It didn't. It was talking about different labels, and they had a different example. And so the question was, did anyone, you know, has anyone ever put labels on you? Mm-hmm. And right away she shrunk down and put her pillow over
Aww.
Her head and didn't really want to talk about it. And so I told her, I said, I think I might, you know some that she feels from things she had said in the past. And, you know, she didn't need to be embarrassed to share them with me, and that I, you know, would love to talk to her about it. But she just really wouldn't talk about it.
You know what? I just asked you if it had anything to do with food, and you said no. And yet the labels revolved around her weight.
That's true.
Okay,
yes.
So I'm saying that I think there needs to be discussions about emotions that don't tap into the weight thing.
Okay.
A safe discussion about feelings and emotions and make that more and more a part of your relationship with her. I think that would be a good thing.
Okay.
So Christina, what I would do in that situation is at a later time, I would go sit. And I did this many, many times with four kids. I'd go plop myself in the middle of their bedroom on the floor, and I'd play the horse whisperer. I'd sit on the floor, and I'd say, what did you feel last night when you put the pillow over your head? Mm-hmm. And I'm not leaving your room till you give me a feeling from this little feelings word list.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll wait. And I'll take a book with me. I'll fold clothes. I'll do something. But I sit there, and I wait for them to give me an answer. I'm the dad. They're the kid. I have to teach them that their shutdown mechanism is unacceptable in my home. That is not how a healthy adult will work well in life. So I have to help them early learn how not to do that.
Yeah.
But I look away. I don't stare at them. I don't stand over them. I get in a lower place, and I just go, I'll wait until you tell me what you feel. And invariably, and I've waited as long as 45 minutes, by the way, invariably, one of my kids will give you a feeling, and then they'll usually cry. And then you comfort them.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't try and fix anything. You just go, that would be hard. And you just love them right there. You put them on your lap. Lord, help us deal with these things. And you just love them in that place of pain. That's what Steve's talking about in terms of emotional connection. Sherry,
that makes a lot of sense. That's great. I see what you're saying.
I think you said it so well, Mylan. I have nothing to say.
Yeah. Well, let me send you a copy of Mylan's book, How We Love Our Kids. I think it will help you connect with her at a deeper level. And we would love to hear how all of that goes. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, if you need some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's it, or newlife.com. Please call us if you need help. Also, we need help. We really need help. And we need your support right here in January. January's almost over. It's always a tough month. So if there's any way you have been blessed and you could share that with us and the people that we help, please do. And you can find out how to do that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Or go to newlife.com. All right. Now, let's go to Charles from Washington, D.C. Hello, Charles. How are you?
Hello. I'm great. How are you today?
Excellent. Excellent. What can we do for you today?
Oh, I'm actually calling about a relationship with our granddaughter, who is separated from us by several hundred miles, and she'll be a teenager this year, and she has yet to be permitted by her mother to spend one night with us, and to my knowledge, with anyone else, including friends in the area where they live. And I'm struggling. I'm also be celebrating a seventh decade birthday this year, and I just don't have a communications channel with her that I feel like that she's able to develop a relationship with us that's a healthy one. And I specifically want to be able to talk and carry on a conversation, but every time I'm around her, which is very rare, it's maybe a maximum of two times on the average a year, and over the phone, she does not want to communicate with us. And to my knowledge, I've done nothing. Her grandmother has done nothing. She's the same way with her. And when I talk to her, when she does come visit us or we go visit her, I ask her a question. She looks to her mother to answer the question. I mean, actually, eye contact moves to her mother.
Okay.
And it's so troubling.
Okay, so what's the question for us then?
I want to know what I might do, some suggestions that you may have for us that we can communicate with our granddaughter and have a healthy relationship with her before she gets too much older.
Okay. Well, let's see what Mylon and Sherry have to say. What do you guys think when you hear this?
You know, Charles, is her mom your daughter or your daughter-in-law?
Daughter-in-law.
Okay, so have you talked to your son about this at all? What's his thoughts on it?
We have talked to him over the years, and we also have other grandchildren that it's not an issue with, by the way.
Right.
I didn't mention that. But my son, initially, he acknowledged the problem, but now he's become more and more defensive about the subject when you bring it up. You know, I think he really recognizes that she doesn't have that communication skill that she really needs, and he kind of makes excuses for her, I guess is the right way to say it.
So my sense is that his wife, you know, the mother of your granddaughter, is kind of fearful and controlling.
I think you're right on the button there.
And so she spends a lot of time protecting her nest, you know, and protecting your granddaughter. But what I hear you saying is that it's not protecting from anything that you've done that's been wrong. It comes from her experience in life. If we were to go back in her life, what it was like for her growing up, I imagine something scary happened.
Could very well be the case. She is from a broken home, and she does not have a healthy relationship with her mother or her father, as far as I know.
Yeah. And so, first off, let me just speak truth to you, which is, it's not about you.
I understand that.
Yeah, it's not about you. And sometimes these painful separations put us in a position where we really don't have control over that. The strongest in that you have is your son. And he needs to be advocating for you. And so he needs to understand that your heart is broken.
Mm-hmm.
Over the fact that you're not seeing your granddaughter. You're in your 70s, right? You're getting ready to have a seventh decade birthday, right?
Yes.
And for him to understand, you know, at this point, son, I'm heading into my 70s, and I see that I've got some life yet, but I'm nearing the end, you know, the end game, and I really want to get to know my granddaughter. And I need your help to do that.
Well, my suspicion is your son is powerless to affect change here. He's trapped by the situation,
too. Or he feels powerless.
Well,
he does, and I think he has been put in situations at times where it's actually caused problems between him and his wife.
Right.
That he does not want to deal with.
That's right. So he, by acquiescing to her being overly protective of the daughter, is basically avoiding conflict himself, because does that make sense?
It does.
Okay. So while I agree absolutely, and that was my first question, what Sherry asked, where's the son in this whole thing? And to realize he may be at some level impotent to affect change here. Therefore, all you can do is continue, if your goal is to be with the granddaughter, is to go out of your way to create connections with her in multiple ways. In 6 years, she'll be able to make her own choices. Now, there's a possibility that in 6 years, she's going to be enmeshed with her mom because she won't know how to separate from her, and she may be still as trapped at 18 as she is at 12. Mm-hmm. But all you can do is do your very best to engage with the daughter, with the mom, do everything you can to Skype, you know, and make the frequency of encounter much, much more. And see if you can't continue to work toward ways of asking and, you know, coming into town, doing everything you can to extend. This may be one of those things, like Sherry just said, it may be something where you don't have enough, you won't be able to create any more control than what you have.
Now, I don't know if you remember the story. Who was the guy that didn't keep his boys from desecrating the temple?
Oh, Eli?
Eli. And his sons were having sex with the prostitutes and all sorts of stuff. And so God judged him and said, you knew what was happening. They were blaspheming me, and you restrained it not, is what he said. You restrained it not. You got to say to your son, hey, listen, this is your job, to come in here and help your daughter and figure out a way to work with your wife so that you can help your daughter. You can be a real encouragement for him. Your daughter needs a hero, and that hero needs to be her dad and you.
In this way, you're right, Steve. He's enabling evil. He's enabling disconnection.
That's right.
He needs to be responsible to look at that.
We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Well, we're back, and I want to share some insight that was shared at the break between the three of us. And Sherry, you want to start us off here?
You know, I just was left in amazement at Charles, the grandfather, who he's really fighting for his granddaughter's heart. Mm-hmm. The easy thing to do would be just to go, oh, well, that's just them. I'm going to just kind of be okay with twice a year. But mm-hmm. I love that he's a warrior and that he really wants connection. That just says so much about him.
Yeah, it does. And that's a fortunate granddaughter that...
she has that. And, yeah. And you know, that grandfather may be the change in a change.
Yeah.
He may be the one that helps to break into... A very unhealthy system that needs healing. So, good for you, Charles.
Amen.
Well, and Charles, I was also saying, and we agree, we just applaud your intentionality to want to have something more.
It's amazing.
I love it. But what you may want to begin doing is take the granddaughter situation, put that aside for a second, and then when you have conversations with your son, it's less about your granddaughter and it's about them getting into couples therapy. We're a good couples therapist who specializes in couples can help him begin to see his wife historically and where they can build their relationship. And seeing his historical wife means that he sees the hurt, scared, injured, perhaps abused little girl in the past, and that he can love her. And that's how we heal.
Good.
And the other thing that I thought about, I actually pictured Charles and his son in my office. And I pictured what kind of conversations would happen in a safe, therapeutic environment where Charles and his dad could talk about the problem and what to do there. So, Charles, I want you to find a therapist. Well, actually, stay on the line. We'll get you hooked into one of our New Life therapists because there's so many of them right in your area. And sit down with your son with a therapist and try to figure out what do we do with this problem. And a therapist actually speaking in to the enabling may be somebody on the outside that can help your son go, oh, that's what it is. That's what I'm doing. And it can help him get into what he needs to do to really heal.
All right. Very good. Glad you called. I'm going to send you Mylon's book, How We Love Our Kids. I hope that that will help you. You read it and then pass it along to your son. All right, let's go to Jessica. And Mylon, thanks for recommending the marriage weekend. And that marriage weekend, it's here almost. I mean, it's taking place January the 24th. That's pretty close.
28th.
So it's tomorrow. So that's close.
Wait. The marriage weekend?
Yeah.
No, it's February 28th through March 1
that's
and
right.
2.
Yeah, so it's not that close, but Lose It for Life is the 24th.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. So if you are struggling in your marriage, that marriage weekend could open it up for you. It could change things forever. Let's go to Jessica from Los Angeles, California, listening on KKLA. Hello, Jessica.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. How could we help today?
Well, you're my last resort. I'm calling for to get some advice and guidance. I'm just about at the end of my rope, and I'm going to file for divorce because I live with a very critical and negative husband for the past 17 years.
Okay, now how long has he been critical and negative?
17 years.
Okay.
That we have been together.
So when he's been critical
and
negative, when he's been critical and negative, what have you done? What's your response been?
What have I done? I have gone to therapy, and he's not open to it. Well, he's gone to therapy with me once or twice, but he becomes like an angel in front of a therapist and agrees with everything that therapist says. But the moment Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, the moment we walk out, he curses them out and whatever. So I have been patient and believing in God. I didn't get married to get divorced with that intention, so I have the conviction to make it through. But it's got to a point that it's becoming physical now, and he has a lot of anger, and I have a lot of resentment because of 17 years putting up with this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ashamed of myself for, through grace of God, I'm a self-made person, but I have tolerated this to this point. I'm very embarrassed and ashamed.
How is it becoming physical? We want to hear that, Jessica.
Well, an example was last Sunday coming home, he egged me on so much and driving violently on the road that I became enraged and I said, please stop, please stop. And I tried to be very nice and he takes that as a command from me or order and he increases that. I got to a point that I kind of punched his arm and he said, come on, let's do this. And it became violated. It just like horrible situation. He was veering through the streets and yelling and screaming.
So
and
the
I was
contempt
scared, practically.
The contempt is just so severe there between the
yeah.
Two. Yeah.
He has alcoholism and some drug problems. He doesn't want to deal with that.
What have you done about his drug and alcohol problem?
How long?
What have you done about his drug and alcohol problem?
I cannot do anything because it's whenever I address it, he says, yes, I know I have problem, but I'm not ready to deal with that.
Okay. We're going to help you. You hear the music, but we can help you here. There is still hope, I believe, so you hang on. listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. Or if you can support us, oh, we love it when you join our giving family, either through Club New Life or a one-time gift, or maybe just sharing a little bit that, in a way that you've been blessed. Please call us if you can help us. We would love that. And that number is 1-800-NEW-LIFE, the same one you call to get help. We sure would like to help you. We'd like you to help us, too. We'll be back after this.
I've had a weight problem my entire life. I learned to use food as something to comfort myself. Subconsciously, I was hoping for a magic wand. I had tried various things. I tried 12-step programs. None of those approaches were quite like what I heard at Lose It for Life.
At the Lose It for Life workshop, Steve Arterburn will teach you that it's not what you're eating that's putting on the weight, but what's eating you. And you'll have group sessions with a New Life group counselor to help you uncover and begin healing your past hurts.
My whole mentality completely shifted. I wasn't so concerned anymore about what I weighed. I was more concerned with making healthy choices.
The next Lose It for Life workshop is Friday, January 24th through the 26th in Orange County, California. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. You don't have to be defined by what you weigh any longer. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Max Licato. My good friend Steve Arterburn and I agree on a lot of things, and one of them is the importance of a good marriage. Steve and the crew at New Life are on a campaign to strengthen marriages, to renew, refresh, and restore them to be what God intended for them to be, and I am 110% behind their efforts. That's why I want to encourage you to consider attending New Life's Marriage Weekend. Whether your marriage just needs a little refreshing or you're on the verge of a divorce, this weekend can be exactly what you need. You don't want to miss it. There's no other conference like it. Call the good people at New Life at 800-NEW-LIFE. That's 800-639-5433. And talk to them about the upcoming New Life Marriage Weekend. Or check it out at newlife.com. Don't wait another minute. Do it now.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Denham. And we were talking with Jessica, and Jessica has got an alcoholic, drug-using husband. And boy, he's critical and angry and full of rage, which alcoholics and drug abusers are. What do you guys think she should do? What would your first plan of action be, Mylon and Sherry?
Well, odds are the alcohol and the drugs have a purpose. The purpose is to make his difficult reactive feelings on the inside go away. In other words, he's trying to make all his difficult reactive emotions, fluctuations, mood changes. He's miserable inside. And that's why people medicate themselves. And just to say, well, what is the purpose or the functionality of the addiction? And it's usually that. If he's unwilling to get any help, then you may have to do something more extreme. And what I encourage people in my office is if situations get like this and the person is unwilling to do anything, you have to create a boundary that tells them you mean business and really requires them to do something that they earn their way back to you if that's what they want. And instead of a divorce, I recommend a separation, because a separation that is a legal separation protects you financially, legally, et cetera, and it establishes parameters. And then you physically separate from him and say, you're going to have to prove that you want me back. And that has teeth to it. If otherwise you stay for 17 years with no teeth, which is what you've told us, there's no teeth.
That's right.
See, so this gives us something that creates teeth that tells a person, wow, she really means business. Now, you're already there. You just told us, I'm ready to get a divorce. Well, I'd suggest that your first step if you really love him and if you really are, as you said, committed to marriage not ending, I don't like divorce, then take an intermediate step like this and see what he does. Because sometimes people will be incentivized to make changes when you draw strong boundaries like this.
Doctor, I'm sorry for interrupting, but, you know, his response is, fine, I just need a one-bedroom apartment and one dog, and I would be happy with that.
Then that's your answer.
That's his answer.
But you don't have to deal with abuse anymore.
Right. And you know what? The thing is, Jessica, you guys are kind of talking about this right now, but he doesn't really know how it's going to feel to be alone.
That is so
with
true.
A dog. And a lot of times, if you were to take that extra step to separate rather than divorce, it's amazing how many times it kind of disrupts the apple cart, the unhealthy system that you've been living for 17 years. When he really is alone without you, with a dog, he's going to realize a dog is not that great of a companion.
But and, Dr. Sherry is going to call. He wants to take me to cleaners. He wants to wipe me out with the retirement. Do I just go along with that?
No,
that's why Mylan said a legal separation. Yes, you have an attorney sit down with you and draw up the legal separation, sets the financial system in order. And so it just adds another step to see if you can wake him up to get help. And then my encouragement to you would be to start going to an Al-Anon meeting where you can be with partners, other partners who are living with addicts or who have had addicts that have come out of their addiction, to give you hope and encouragement. Because sometimes when the addiction gets cleaned up, I want to say many times when the addiction gets cleaned up, that person actually comes out, the person that who they are really comes into the room instead of that angry, irritable, person that Mylan talked about being medicated. It's not who he is. It's who he is under the influence of.
Right.
Exactly. It's like demonized. He becomes demonized whenever he takes his drink.
I get it. You're in an Al-Anon group. You talk about that. You'll have a lot of people going, I get that. Yeah, I live with that too. But you need support to keep you strong. And then you don't take him back until he gets into recovery. When he starts saying, I want to come back home. I don't want to be, you know, separated anymore. You say, well, we'll talk about that when you get into AA and when you are 6 months sober. We'll talk about, you know, getting back in and getting some good couples therapy and figuring out a path forward.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Kiefer, that means upside down everything. We have to sell the house we lost and all the things. So I should be going through that. I should be willing to do that, right?
You need to be willing to do whatever it takes to save this marriage. And then you've got a chance for a radical transformation in him.
Okay, I hear you.
See, a separation is restorative. It says, I'm not divorcing you. I love you too much. I'm too committed to marriage, but I will not do this anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't care what I have to lose. I'm going to do this because I'm not going to spend the second half doing the same thing. Because guess what? Nothing will change if you don't do anything.
I'm going to send you the 7-minute marriage solution. It'll give you 7 things to start, 7 things to stop immediately. And he may not be willing to spend the 7 most valuable minutes you can spend every day, but you can spend them. And it may have an impact. Let's go to Al from Orlando, Florida. WTLN is the station. Been holding on a while. Hey, Al, how you doing?
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How can we help?
Well, I have an issue with being avoidant. I've evidently listened to your program for probably a few years now. And I tend to be more closed off about my feelings. You know, they have that saying, some people tend to blow up, some people shut up. I'm more the shut up type.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But, I had a counselor tell me once some years ago, I've only been to really one counselor that I remember. A counselor had said, it takes a lot of energy to hold in the feelings. And, you know, I think that hit the nail on the head.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to, I guess, to be avoidant, like you guys talk about on your program.
Yeah.
It's gotten pretty bad over a number of years recently. It's gotten to affect my health more, having headaches and procrastinate, things like that. So we've had a relationship with my family. I have some people that are really reactive. The term you use, and people at work, and my coworkers, bosses, and that too. So, I just want for the new year going forward, I would like to be more healthy. You know, be a better husband, better father, my kids, and
okay.
Now, you know, just function better in life.
Okay. Well, let's see what Sherry and Mylon have to say as they listen to you talk about your situation and wanting it to be different and better.
I am so proud of you. I wish you could see me right now, because my face is smiling and my heart is so big, Al, that you would be so bold and courageous to bring that to us today. Because I want you to know that there are a number of people listening right now that totally get where you're at and get where you need to go. And you're just brave. So thank you for just putting it out there. My suggestion and wonderings, I'm proud of you that you've had one therapist. I'm wondering if you have ever done any group counseling. Have you ever done any kind of group experience where you're together every single week to practice connecting and bringing your heart?
No. that sounds like a really good idea. You mentioned on your program, you talk about the workshops. You know, if you have anxiety or weight loss problems or whatever, you know, get into a workshop like that. I would like to think about something like that.
Healing is a choice would really be a great place for you.
Healing is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what it's
I'll
for.
I'll check on your website to find out. I have read part of your suggestion, part of one of your books called How We Love.
Yeah.
And I think that's the background growing up probably. It had a lot to do with where I am now.
I bet that gave you a lot of good insight.
Because I, whenever I have an avoidant and I'm getting to know them, you know how I look at them, Al? As I look at you as a deep well. You have such deep thoughts and feelings, but they're in the bottom of a well because it's not ever been safe enough, or no one has ever made you important enough or become quiet enough to just sit with you and let you just talk about your heart.
No, that's good. Well, I do have family, brothers and sisters that do that, you know, but not any close friends, you know, or a group that I usually go to.
Yeah.
You know, Al, I want to tell you two words I heard. I heard you use the word headache, and I heard you use the word procrastinate. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how anxious are you on the inside?
Probably pretty high on the scale.
Okay. Which is what I'm going to guess. And it may be that an antidepressant would be something that would help you be able to not be so anxious, have headaches, and procrastinate. And it may be able to help you feel more comfortable and less panicky when you're around reactive people. I know it did for me.
Oh, okay.
Okay. We'll be back right after this.
I've been struggling since I was probably in my mid-20s.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I honestly felt like I was on an island all by myself, and I was the only one in the world that was like this, you mm-hmm. know, and why did God create me like this?
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
When I went to Every Man's Battle right from the very beginning, I realized that this is every man's battle, not just my battle.
Yeah. Become the man you want to be, the husband your wife needs you to be, father your children can look up to.
Every Man's Battle explains to you why you are like you are, and they give you the tools, and they teach you the scriptures, and they show you how to work your way through the problems, and where to get help, and how to get help, and who to get help through.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Don't wait. Just go ahead and go, and it'll make a huge difference in your life and your family's life.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we are back, and we're talking with Al about just handling conflicts and dealing with anxiety. And did you say that you have read How We Love?
Yes. I don't think I finished the book, but I did.
Okay.
I was looking through there, some things that would have, you know, I should have read the whole thing, but
okay.
A lot of it I read, and it explains some things about how I relate to people.
Yeah.
I just want to interject one brief thing. So I was in a group process that Henry and John Townsend Cloud had a group. I was in it for 2.5 years. There were men and women in it because I was dealing with some fear with men because of some wounds of my past. One of the guys in there actually was socially phobic. He was just kind of an avoidant, and he was kind of scared of relationships. I was so blown away to watch that man change in the 2.5 years that we were together. I actually gave him the award for the most changed because he learned how to relate. When you're an avoidant, the best way to learn is practice. It's just actually going deep with people. And it's not going to come in a book, and it's not going to come in one, you know, one day or one event. It's going to come by over and over again learning how to bring your heart. And so I can't recommend that more, and I want to give you hope. This guy actually got married after 2.5 years, and he's still married and has a really successful relationship. So it's possible to change.
That's great.
That is really cool to hear.
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
okay, Al.
Well,
let me send you Healing is a Choice, Al, and let me encourage you to come to Healing is a Choice or the Marriage Weekend. One of the either of those could really change so much for you. Please do. We'll
And if Al brings his wife, it will put them into, like, New Life Marriage Weekend, it will put them into groups where they have to do what you said,
yep,
Sherry, with a group
and
with
each other. You're right.
And so that would, because he said he's fearful about even talking to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So this will help. You can't get rid of a phobia by avoidance.
Yeah.
You know, you have to engage. You have to push past it.
If you're on the line, we're going to do another program, so please hold on. I'll try to get to your call. But, Sherry, you mentioned this group that you were in. What did you see this man do to change? What did he have to look at whether or not he was breastfed? Or, you know, what was the big agenda there that caused him to make such a radical change?
How'd you know he wasn't, Steve? That's amazing. You're so insightful. I can't believe this guy.
Well, you know what's funny, Steve, is you asked that, and the first thought that came through my head was truly he just showed up.
Yeah.
It was painful to be in the room with him. I'll be honest, and I told him that, you know, at the end of our group time together. It was painful because I knew how much he struggled.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? He just kept showing up week after week, and we grew to love him, and he grew to feel safe, and then he really started changing. He started talking more easily. He started sharing his heart more easily. He actually started asking questions. He just learned to get more attached to himself and his heart and us. So I just got a Christmas card, you know, at Christmas from he and his wife, and I will always, that man changed my perspective on who can change. And if mm-hmm. this gentleman can change, anybody can.
Mm. I love that. Well, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
And this
yeah.
was the first time probably in his life he ever experienced that.
Ever in a small group.
Yeah.
First time.
Well, we really do believe that people can change, that transformation is absolutely not only possible, but it happens every single day. And that is the reason that we're here, is transformation. We're not here to help people feel better or feel better about themselves. That's one of the things that comes as a, it's a fruit of the work that we do. But we want people who are going one way to be going the other after we've been able to work with them. One of the best places that that happens is the marriage weekend. Mylan and his fabulous, fun-filled, talented painting wife, Kay, they wrote the book, How We Love Together. They're there at the marriage weekend, giving it their very best. Dr. Dave Stoop and his wife, who's also a PhD like Dave, they're there giving their best. I'm there giving mine. And it, along with those therapists that come in, it produces a change. Let me read this to you. Before coming to the marriage weekend, I felt like I was losing perspective in my marriage. Usually I was the fight for my marriage spouse, but I had slowly been disengaging in the last year due to hurts. This weekend was not what I expected. I learned more about my husband and myself in this weekend than I've known in 28 years of marriage. I have a renewed perspective. I leave here with hope and a willingness to try again. Please find a way to go. It is so worthwhile. You'll never regret this vital investment in your marriage. And that's going to happen February the 28th. We would love for you to be there. Some of the other things that we have going here, we have Every Man's Battle every month. And the next one's coming up February the 7th in San Jose. Lose It for Life, January 24th. Now, that's tomorrow. I bet you could still get in. It really is going to be amazing, and people will never be the same after they come. And our Holy Land trip, which is June the 2nd, it will be a trip of a lifetime. Dr. Sherry Keffer is going, and Mylan went last year, but he's not going to go. Dr. Dave Stoop and Jan are going. Dr. Keffer's husband, Kyle Keffer, right?
He's going. Yep, he's going.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I'll be there with my bonus son, James, and we're just going to have an amazing time. And we'd love for you to come and join us. Please come and join us and be part of it. You'll never be the same. 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. That's how you find out all the details about that. Now, this ministry is supported by your gifts, and only by your gifts. And if you don't help us month to month, then we have problems. And you've been so faithful, and we're so grateful for the kind of generosity that has been displayed to this ministry over the years, especially the past few years. It's been fantastic. And, of course, this month, Larry Sonnenberg, who really is the Albert Einstein of money pinching and savings. This is his 10th year with this ministry, and he has transformed this ministry, and I don't know of any ministry that provides more results for less money than New Life, and that makes me really proud to be part of New Life. And so if you want to be a part of a ministry that absolutely transforms lives, saves marriages, saves futures, saves faith, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and become part of it, or go to newlife.com. I don't know of anybody that's ever said, I just wish we hadn't given that to New Life, because they see, they hear, they know that it is the beginning of a whole new life for so many people. So please, if you can, call us and help us in whatever way that you can. And our gift to you, I'll send you the devotional Bible. I'll send you any Bible you want, a gift of any amount. And we'll send you the Bible of your choice, Spiritual Renewal Bible, which was Bible of the Year about 10 years ago. The Life Recovery Bible, it's almost 3 million copies there. The 7-Minute Marriage Devotional Bible. All of that, all those Bibles, Every Man's Bible. You pick one, just gift of any amount, and we'll send it to you. Thank you, Mylan. Thank you, Sherry. Thanks to all of you. If you need some help or you can help us, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll see you next time here on New Life Live.
for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.
Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.